Let's pray. Father God, as we turn to your word and this parable that Jesus spoke to us, help us to reflect on our lives and the meaning for us today. Amen. Jesus told this story. A man planted a fig tree in his garden and came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it, but he was always disappointed. And finally, he said to his gardener, "I've waited 3 years and there hasn't been a single fig. Cut it down. It's just taking up space in the garden." The gardener answered, "Sir, give it one more chance. Leave it another year. I'll give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. If we get figs next year, fine. If not, then you can cut it down." So spring is here. I think we can finally say, can't we? Spring is here. The last few days have been gorgeous, haven't they? A little breezy, but the sunshine is certainly out. It certainly feels a bit warmer than it has done compared with a month ago. And the signs of spring are there, aren't they? The snowdrops have come, the crocuses are out, the early daffodils, the birds are in the trees. And of course, at this time of year, our thoughts just start to turn towards planting and growing. I think possibly when you reach that middle age crisis and you suddenly get interested in gardening. Has anyone else been there? I never did much when I was younger. But suddenly you have an interest in seeing things grow, don't you? And you start planting. And in the last week, I've started to get the garden ready. I've been clearing out pots, pruning, and also starting to plant some seeds, obviously inside because it's not that warm yet. But planting the seeds in the ground and then just waiting and watching as they put down roots, as they are thirsty for water and nutrients. Now, a number of you will know that in our garden we have a number of fruit trees which we've planted over the years, and of course they are starting to bud. And we have a fig tree, and thankfully, unlike the story, our fig tree does actually produce a few figs. Obviously, northwest England is not the best place for a fig tree, but nonetheless, in the last few years, we've had a few figs off it. But in our garden, we also have a plum tree, and the plum tree is rather like the fig tree in our story. We've had it several years. Last year, it produced 2 plums. The year before, 1. The year before, 0. So I'm hoping there's a trend there, but it's a fairly slow trend. And over the last few years, I've debated time and time whether or not we should just chop it down. It sits next to a cherry tree, which we've only had for 3 years, but it's already producing a good crop. And on the other side is a pear tree, which now produces a fine crop of pears, which we are going to enjoy later when we get them out of the freezer. But the plum tree does very little. And yet something in me just says, let's wait one more year. Maybe if I prune it correctly, maybe if I put a bit more fertilizer and compost around it, maybe it'll grow next year. And this brings us to today's reading, the parable of the barren fig tree. It's not an easy parable, is it, if we're honest? If we understand it in its context, looking at what's gone before, Jesus is actually calling the people to repentance, to change their lives, to turn from having lives that are going nowhere to lives that are lives for God. Now, although this parable occurs, roughly speaking, in the middle of Luke's Gospel in chapter 13, it's actually right at the end of Jesus' ministry. We read that he's already set out on the journey to Jerusalem and the cross. He spent 3 years traveling, preaching, proclaiming the kingdom of God, doing healing, signs, and miracles. And obviously, he's looked for a response from the people of Israel over 3 years, sign that the words and the works which he have done have touched their hearts and caused fruit to grow. And sadly, although there were people who responded, there were so many who hadn't. And he tells this parable, which is very telling, essentially saying to the people of Israel, and particularly their leaders, I've spent 3 years with you trying to get you to grow, and I see so little fruit. They should have been fruitful. In the parable, it happens in a vineyard. It was one of the most fruitful areas in Israel. The soil would have been full of goodness. And it's clear, because there was a gardener in the story, that the fig tree was well tended and looked after, and yet it produced nothing. But nonetheless, the gardener says, give it another year, give it another chance. I'll do even extra special, maybe not sheep poo fertilizer, but actually I believe sheep poo is fairly good for fertilizer. But I'll do my best to try and get that fig tree to produce something next year. But if it doesn't, you can chop it down. And we can't ignore the fact this parable has this mixture of mercy and judgment. God's mercy in holding off, giving people time and chance to respond and demonstrate fruit in their lives. But also a reality that there comes a point when you won't hold off making a judgment about what people have done. It makes you wonder why Israel hadn't responded, doesn't it? There's various reasons, I suspect. For some people, they were too interested in their own power. For some people, Jesus' message was too difficult. The song we've just sung, Blessed Be Your Name, reminds us that we go through times of goodness and blessing, but also times of suffering and hardship. And of course, in 1 Corinthians, Paul says that the gospel is difficult. It's foolishness. To the Greeks, it's a stumbling block. To the Jews. And for some of us, maybe it feels like the gospel is too difficult to follow. And yet our Old Testament passages remind us that we have a thirst in our lives that can only be satisfied by God. And in fact, there's that passage in Ecclesiastes, isn't there, where it says, he has set eternity in the hearts of men and women. And then, of course, Jesus himself said, to come to me, whoever is thirsty, come and drink, and streams of living water will flow from you. In other words, if we want to be truly fruitful, if we want to satisfy the thirst that is in our human lives, we need to turn to God for them. The parable, like so many, has a sense of being unfinished, doesn't it? We don't know whether the fig tree produced figs the following year or not. And I think, like so many parables, Jesus left it deliberately unfinished so that we end the story with a question: are we being fruitful? What are we thirsty for? And let's just reflect on that and think as we go on with our lives. What are we thirsting for in lives? Where are we getting our satisfaction? And in what way are we being fruitful for God as individuals and as a church? Are we being fruitful for one another? Before we come to this song, All Who Are Thirsty, let's therefore just pause for a moment and pray and think on those words. Lord God, this parable is a difficult one because it talks about a fig tree that was facing judgment if it didn't show fruit. But it also talks about your mercy in watching and waiting and giving people a chance. Father God, help us to respond to your message. Help us to know that in you and in your Son, our thirst can be quenched and we can grow. Help us as a church to think how we can be fruitful in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, showing good deeds to one another, and demonstrating to the world the love of God. Help us not to put our trust in the wrong things, but to put our trust in you, so that our thirst may be quenched and we may grow. Amen.